It's time. Cannabis Insider is back. What's up, friends? Happy Tuesday. Hope everybody is off to a friggin' thrilling, stellar, phenomenal, magnificent, amazing start to their week. You know what mine is? Because I get to see Javier Haas. What's up, Javi?
Doing great, doing great. I was looking for a more formal sweater to throw on before the show, but I couldn't find any downstairs and I didn't have enough time, so I'm rocking.
You went swaggy on us. He's like super styly swaggy, Javier Haas. And with that, we are going to feel good going into the insider to the show here. Aaron Thomas, hit us up, man. All right. We are back. Tons of news to dive into, Javi. I don't know about you, man, but the stocks were a flowing today. And so far, man, what's on your mind?
A lot of stuff going on everywhere all the time. I'm trying to open my news. I don't know what's going on.
It's a good
on.
Movie about that. Everything Everywhere All at Once. I'm not going to lie. I had to think on it for a second. Maybe I'm just not the smartest individual. But like that movie in particular, I was like, let me just like digest it and like kind of started to understand it after I was watching it. I'll admit it. I'll take it. Oh, I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I do want to watch it again, though. I feel like I could get a little bit more intricate in the details. That being said, we're not here to digest movies like Rotten Tomatoes. We're here to talk about cannabis. What you pull up, man? What is it?
Look at this. Oh yeah, this is a surprise. It's such a nice video. I have another one we're gonna play next time, but this
Javier is wonderful. Thank you.
For those who don't know, Tiffany attended Benzinga's Chicago conference last year, the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference, which by the way is returning to Chicago, bzcannabis.com. And she swears by the success of Benzinga conferences. She says that it helped her launch her business. And we have some beautiful shout outs. I shared this one over the weekend.
And what he did bringing social equity and bringing in women. Everything that we said was listened to. Everything that we asked for, we're getting. More women were here even than last time. You cannot change the industry by saying, I just don't want men. The industry has men. It has white men. But guess what? When you give us scholarships, when you say we're here, you change my future. And what I will say for Benzinga is that you cannot find a conference that cares more and that is going to, I think, positively impact the cannabis landscape for women, for everyone in the future to come. And I think this is going to be the one to really look at. And I'm just saying that, like, I plan on coming every year. And I really think that if you're spending your dollars, this really turns it out. Javier is wonderful. And what you did bringing social
I love how you started it. Javier is wonderful. That's my main takeaway from that. No, but Javi, we love Tiffany. Tiffany is a really amazing influence in this industry.
I want to be fair. I am using like a piece of software that cuts clips automatically. I didn't choose to start it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Drop your comments in the chat if you believe Javi.
But here's another one. I have a second clip, which I'm posting later this week. Where Tiffany says, this is so unsponsored. I love Benzinga. And you know why? Because Patrick and Elliot listened so hard. And I love that quote. Listened so hard.
If you don't listen to the industry, why are you in it? Right? Yeah. If you're not.
You're listening hard face.
Yeah. There it is. If you're listening on the podcast, you've got to take a trip over to YouTube. And just see my face there because it was a hard listen face. But that said, y'all, bzcannabis.com, we have officially announced Governor J.B. Pritzker will be keynoting our event. Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois will be a keynote at our event. We'll also have Governor Albert Bryan of U.S. Virgin Islands. We'll have former Senator Cory Gardner, former U.S. Representative Ed Perlmutter, all talking legislatively. Reggie Bobbin, who is recently been in signed on with Aiken, a really prominent law firm, but he is also doing lobbying for GTI. So on the legislative side, we are stacked. And then on the company side, we just announced Boris Jordan will be keynoting as well. Chairman of Curaleaf, tons of other amazing speakers, Kim Rivers and the like. Can't forget about really all the cool ones. Darren Weiss, Aaron Miles. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You got to be there. bzcannabis.com. Oh, that was a lot. Oh, Javi, though, we're here to talk about news, man. We potentially we'll have a really cool up and coming company on with us a little bit later. But that said, there's so much happening. You know, I want you to start with your bit of news here, but Canopy, OGI, Red, White, and Bloom, Aleafia. There's just so much happening.
Insane. I mean, actually, one of the things that really caught my eye today was news, you know, between cannabis and the tobacco industry. Many see it as an inevitable roll-up. Others are very afraid or concerned with what the future might hold in that sense. But it is a reality. Philip Morris is slowly but steadily getting into the marijuana space. In this particular case, they are reportedly acquiring an Israeli medical technology company called Psych Medical. They do this like medical cannabis inhaler. We've showcased them in the past. Very, very cool device. And this is a deal that could be worth up to $650 million. You know, in the past, back in 2016, Philip Morris already invested $20 million into Psych Medical. And now they will invest another $130 million to finance the process of obtaining FDA approval for this.
It's basically their marijuana arm, you know, and this is what we expected. I feel like of all these major companies, whether they're investors or CPG companies in tobacco and alcohol. So the Constellations, the BTIs or British American Tobacco, Philip Morris, the Altria, we expected them to get in and eventually, you know, either jump in or exit, right? And it seems like Philip Morris is, interestingly enough, jumping in, at least on the international side.
Indeed. But here's the thing. It's they're getting through the device route, right? They're not investing in plant-touching businesses just yet, but on the device maker. Right.
I agree with you. There's nothing to agree or disagree with. That's what they're doing. But at the end of the day, it's still cannabis, right? It's still an entrant into the industry. And I think it's worth noting, you know, without too much clarification.
I also remember Psych at some point getting a big pharma investment.
Interesting.
Pharma. Teva Pharmaceuticals, I think it was. Yeah, I believe. So Teva Pharmaceuticals, their Israel arm, also invested in 2016 in Psych Medical as well. One of the larger, you know, pharma companies investing in cannabis-related businesses.
What is Psych? Like, what is their draw?
In what sense?
Well, I mean, just saying, like, they got pharma and tobacco investing into them. That's pretty significant.
So what they have is this device that is a metered dose medical cannabis inhaler. I can probably share.
Interesting.
I'm going to drop it for Aaron so we can see it real fast.
Is it more precise? Because, like, we have those.
Oh, yeah.
There are several of those.
You can also work with capsules. It's interesting. I mean, if so many of these massive companies are investing in it, there's a reason for it.
That's cool. Sleek look too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's keep it going, man. We got to get to our interview here shortly. So let's do a quick round robin. You know, what else is on your mind, man? I see Snoop Dogg, another venture.
Snoop Dogg launching his Delta 9 gummies at the Champs Show in Vegas next week in partnership with Hemp Echo. HPCO, if you're looking to invest, not investment advice here, but HPCO and Snoop Dogg, the dog master himself, dog father, is launching his Delta 9 gummies. Go check it out.
What do you think about that, Javi? I mean, Snoop Dogg getting into the hemp consumable space. That's a
obvious choice, probably a licensing deal.
But most marijuana companies don't like it. Right?
What do you mean, like the hemp-derived cannabinoids?
Yeah, it's interesting that because he has a lot of marijuana partnerships. I'm sure they can't like exclude him from doing what he wants. He's Snoop Dogg. He can do whatever he wants, right? But it's interesting that, you know, he's just planting seeds in both sides of the cannabis plant.
I mean, he is also, you know, endorsing alcohol brands. And it's not like the cannabis industry loves, you know, hard alcohol like vodka or whatever. He has his own wine line. He endorses a bunch of different things. I don't think that anyone who gets a partnership with Snoop Dogg will not be very picky, right? I think, you know, most would draw the line at cancellation, and anything other than that is like, okay, you know, it's Snoop.
You're Well, I agree with you. I just think it's interesting to see such a large personality dive into the hemp space, at least in this sense, given there's, at least on the marijuana side, there's not, you know, there's a lot of love loss, we'll say. That said, Javi, let's get to it, man. There's so much to go over. If you guys want to catch more on some stocks, Red, White, and Bloom was up over 110, yep. I think 115% yesterday. It was a weird thing. Aleafia shareholders said, nope, Red, White, and Bloom is not going to acquire us. And then Red, White, and Bloom shareholders were thrilled. Aleafia shareholders were thrilled. Red, White, and Bloom shareholders are thrilled. I guess the management teams weren't very in touch with their shareholders in that one.
Man.
Yeah. So anything else, man, before we get to an interview with an awesome up-and-coming company?
Rapid fire round, a few headlines. A German company sent, or reportedly sent, an LSD pro drug via DHL. It is reportedly legal. And a Latina fellow just posted on Twitter. We found it. You know, this tweet in Spanish saying, hey, you know, I received the, you know, LSD via DHL. To be fair, it's a pro drug. It's not exactly the same, but what a future we'll live in. Canopy has a Canopy Growth, CGC, has a consolidation strategy to continue to be listed on the NASDAQ.
This is cool.
Their share price has been too low for far too long. You can go to benzinga.com/cannabis after the show to get the details. And finally, Ron DeSantis and Florida lawmakers estimate legal weed can generate about $500 million in tax revenue, give or take. Very, very, very interesting stuff. Go check it out.
Interesting that it's not going to be on his agenda, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's not like an enemy of weed, but it's just like, it is what it is, I guess, is his thought process there. I do like the Canopy strategy, though. But that said, you do need to read on benzinga.com/cannabis with Javier and his news team giving you all the up-to-date insights for that. Check out Cannabis Daily every morning on your same socials, Benzinga Cannabis, LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever else we have Benzinga Cannabis. But that said, we are going to move to an interview with a really cool company, Priscotti. Their founder and CEO, Scott Prisco, is here with us to chat through what they're up to. Let's bring him over.
That name.
I mean, I guess we don't have to ask you where the name came from, right, Scott?
Get it. Some people don't, though, but.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, people, Bobby, is that your first last name? I'm like, yep.
Honestly? Oh,
I did not get it. I thought it was a pun with just biscotti. I didn't realize. Pris.
Oh, Javi. You're the journalist here. Come on. Wait, you're making a legacy here, man. So, Scott, real quick, man, dive into what you're doing in the industry.
Yeah, so Priscotti is essentially a delivery technology company, right? We launched in late 2022, end of December, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are currently working with around 30, give or take, dispensaries in the Albuquerque metro area. So we run a delivery company. It's very DoorDash, Uber-esque Eats in the sense of, you know, we use contracted employees that use their own vehicles and then basically deliver on behalf of dispensaries, right? Delivery retailers are so focused on, you know, selling their products, you know, marketing themselves. You know, they're not really experts in logistics. And when you factor in all the costs, when you break down all the costs of running your own delivery business, it just doesn't make sense for them, right? So that is really our core competency in our kind of thing, right? Our secret sauce is like, you know, we utilize our technology and our wherewithal and our operation to help them, empower them, help reach their customers, you know, through delivery, right? And when you look at traditionally cannabis is consumed in the illicit market, you know, people are consuming via delivery, right? When you look at, you know, especially big cities like New York, DC, That's how people traditionally got cannabis. So, you know, we're helping these dispensary partners meet their customers where they're already at, and offering mm-hmm. that value to them. So that's kind of the value prop we offer.
Now, how does the legal aspect of this work, right? The contract drivers is something that I am not sure I fully understand. And here's why I'm asking, right? During our last Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in Miami, we had executives from Uber. And one of the things that they said, and they wanted to make very clear, and this is almost a literal quotation, and this I can remember what they said exactly. They said, people are saying mistakenly that Uber is delivering weed. Uber is not delivering weed. Licensed retailers are delivering weed through their own people because they cannot stay compliant if, you know, with the Uber drivers delivering the weed. So people are ordering on the Uber app and then getting deliveries. This is in Canada, through the licensed retailers. How is it different in America, right? Or for you specifically, how does that legal side of it work?
Yeah, and I think it all goes back to the state laws, right? It goes back to the state laws, and then it also go back to, you know, the way in which we go about it in different states, for instance, right? Like, so New York. New York would, you know, the regulations state that you have to have, the driver has to be under an employee or a contractor under the dispensary's license. So in that process, it would be more of a management service contract, right? So we would help empower them. They would use our technology, and we would, you know, basically empower them in that way. So it really goes back to the regulations of the state and how the state regulations roll out. And then each of them have different regulations in a sense of what they call for. So it's really a state-by-state basis on how that goes about.
You know, this is slightly off topic, but seeing as you're in delivery and you're doing a similar model to DoorDash and Uber Eats, I got to ask you, man, are you doing the fees? Are you doing the DoorDash fees that are like, here is your fee, here's a service fee, here is the next fee. It's like $20 in fees by the time you're said and done. It's crazy, man. I'm actually just asking from a monetary standpoint. You know, how do you run this as a profitable business? Where do you make your money in distribution? Is it fees and delivery? Is it the software? Is it loyalty programs? You know, where does delivery thrive?
So we make a fee, but we charge the dispensaries a fee. So that's how we make our money, right? So we don't actually charge the consumer a fee. You know, we actually have different tiers, the way we do it. And we basically, when we sell a dispensary, we say, hey, like, here are the different tiers. You know, depending on how competitive you want to be with your customer, these are the prices. And we really do push for that free delivery, right? Everyone's so sick of the service fees, like you said. Everyone's so sick of the products mm-hmm. being marked up, right? So it looks like there's not a service fee, but, you know, the same pancake you're getting from Denny's is $20 instead of $12, right? So, you know, the prices are what you see on the website of that, you know, the e-commerce, the inventory, what they're priced at in the stores. And we basically push the dispensary. So we leave it up to them if they want to charge the customer or not. So some of them don't, though. Like, we offer free delivery for some dispensaries in Albuquerque, and very cool. They pay the service fee for the consumer. So it makes it free for someone to get delivery. And this is definitely something we push for. I think it's just an unbeatable value prop for the customer. Because let's face it, with Amazon and everything's so quick these days, you know, no one wants to pay a delivery fee. And that's just, it's kind of what we've seen from the feedback we've been getting.
Do you see success there? Just a quick follow-up on that. Do you see those companies that are choosing to cover that fee for consumers, see consumers come back and see that being a successful model?
Yeah. I mean, we have a crazy high retention rate, right? It's like 90, 95% for consumers. So we see the same customer over and over again. The dispensary sees the same customer over and over again. We do, when we launched, when we launched the POC, we originally had it at $10 for a customer. And the feedback we got was it was just too expensive, right? So we took it back and like, how can we take that down? How can we make it more affordable for the customer to push delivery, to make it more of an attractive offer? Because, you know, it does have benefits for the dispensary because they're pushing higher AOVs. And it does show, you know, almost double in some cases, more than double AOV, right? So—
Sorry, what's an AOV?
Average order value. Sorry. So average order value. So there's more, you know, they're selling more product on the same transaction as opposed to an in-store purchase. Sorry for the
being clarified. It's like a digital basket size, right?
Yeah. Cannabis calls it basket size. E-commerce is more like average order, AOV, average order value. So that's just the terminology that they use there in cannabis. But yeah, we see that customers, it's better when you don't charge a delivery fee. I think $5 is really like, I think 10 is too high. From our studies show, when you hit that $5 mark, it's in the head. It's only $5, it's half the price, but it seems a lot more affordable than 10. But then obviously free is an incredible value props. Like, how can you beat that? Right? Like, how, if you get, you know, you get the same product, you get the store for the same price, I mean, delivered right to your house, like, why would you ever leave?
That's price compression at its finest.
But you know,
I'm kidding.
Going back to the I think every retailer is views it a little differently, because some of them are vertically integrated, right? Some of them have more margin to give on their product, their manufacturing, mm-hmm. you know, they're growing, they're cultivating, producing, whatever that might be. You know, some of them have more margin to give. And, you know, this is obviously, you know, cannabis is a very market to market thing, as you know. So it really depends on the market, right? And as we go in, and that's why I think tech is so hard too in the cannabis space. In this end, it's because there's no silver bullet, right? The traditional SaaS model is you create a pricing model and it scales. But cannabis, you know, every market's different. So that's kind of one of the challenges we've seen. But, you know, within those challenges lies the opportunity. So, you know, we go into every market differently with a different set of eyes. There's different regulations, going back to your initial point, Javi, you know, with the 1099 employees. So we have to structure things a little different. There's no silver bullet, like, okay, here's our model and it scales to every state, right? So it's not like that. And that's, you know, what we're trying to do is pick the most favorable states to the way we want to run the business and the way we see the vision.
So right now you're in New Mexico, right? And coming to New York soon. Is this correct?
Yeah, we're looking at the East Coast, New York, New Jersey. I think they're going to be great markets. I think there's a lot of investor interest in those markets. You know, I think that, you know, when you look at California being traditionally the staple of cannabis culture in the United States, I think New York is really going to give them a run for their money. So I think it's going to be a great market. You know, we love the energy there. The people are great. The community is great there. So it's a really cool place. I was actually just there last weekend, and it's so refreshing and nice to see, you know, what people are doing with the social equity applicants and just how passionate people are, to be doing this. Right. So it's a really cool market, and that's what makes our job so much easier.
And that is a perfect segue to the actual question I wanted to ask you, right. In relation to this, which is, no, I'm looking at the dispensaries you partner with, and I'm curious if this is something that comes from the aspect, like, it's a New Mexico thing or a Frescati thing. But I notice many of these dispensaries you're working with are Latino owned or oriented or branded. You have like La Flor, Tana Buena, Sandia, which is like watermelon, Minerva. Like, a bunch of these are clearly Latino operator owned or targeting Latino audiences. Is this like a New Mexico thing, or is this like a Frescati thing going, you know, specifically after these sort of clients and partners?
No, you know, I think it's a little bit of both, because I think in New Mexico, you do have the Hispanic culture there, right? It's very strong. And a lot of these are small mom and pop businesses that are hustling and making a name for themselves. So I think it's a little bit of both, because that really is a New Mexico thing. But I think the solution that Frescati really offers empowers the little guy in whatever market that be, right? Like New Mexico, that might be predominantly Hispanic.
It's exactly like, you know, whatever, Postmates, or, you know, down here we have Rappi, you know, in all of the Latin American countries. And there's a bunch of restaurants I would have never ordered from, not even heard of. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I saw them. They were well ranked, and I ended up ordering. And now, you know, the place where I order sushi is none of the famous ones. It's one that I found on this app, and I would have never ever ordered from them, right?
Yeah. So it gives these smaller dispensaries more exposure, exactly, and it kind of lights them up, which I like. It kind of brings them up and gives them that new platform to reach customers they normally wouldn't have reached and share their story. So I think, as far as like the little guy, our mission really is to empower the little guy. And what that looks like and the demographic of who that is in every market is going to be different depending on the state they're in and the city we're in, right? Yeah. And so that's kind of the crux of it all. But yeah, I think that that's one thing, is we help dispensaries expand their reach beyond, nice. You know, the average shopping radius that people get out of their house and shop for, which is like, you know, 2.8 miles in Albuquerque, studies show to go out and go and buy some stores around them. And our average delivery radius for drop-offs is like 7 miles. So you can see it normally triples their triples their reach, right? Just on the statistics of the data. So that is something we're seeing for sure.
So a couple points here that I'd love to Yeah, get out as we wrap this up. The New Mexico market, unlimited license state, 1,000 licenses, right? You have just a massive opportunity there. So well done to you in your model for picking a state that seems to me would be, you could just create an empire in New Mexico and you don't even have to leave. You'd probably be the biggest delivery company in the U.S. That said, you're expanding to a very different type model state in New York, obviously very controlled, to a fault, to say that incredibly nicely. Right. So when you go into this new state in New York that has 10-ish open dispensaries, right, what's the plan there? Because in New Mexico, that is, it's pretty much all younger and smaller businesses because MSOs, they're not going to go to a state like New Mexico. However, New York, every MSO wants to expand there. Every MSO wants the OCM to correct what they did, which it seems like they're going to at the end of this year. Are you going to integrate with some of their platforms, with their apps? Are you going to be looking at creating a platform that is also beneficial for, you know, these larger footprint organizations?
Definitely. I think our plan really is right now to empower the card applicants, right? That's our plan right now. And as we move forward, you know, we'll definitely to look to how to serve more customers. I think there is a market for each, right? I think they appeal to a different demographic. They have different plans. So I definitely think that it's a little bit of both. Our focus, though, predominantly is, you know, the card applicants and helping them, you know, reach their consumers where they're at. And going back to New York, you know, as there is, like you said, 10 dispensaries, give or so, and you know, 60% of the population or 50% of the population is kind of in that New York metro area. And there's even less dispensaries than that when you look at the five boroughs. I think the goal is to really focus on getting the volume up for each dispensary and helping them, you know, grow their business, right? In New Mexico, there's so many different dispensaries. So it's like, you have to onboard so many different dispensaries because each of them have a smaller piece of the pie because there's just so much more competition. But when you go into a market like New York, right, we're looking at, you know, higher volume per dispensary. So the goal is really work with them, help them drive their revenue, right? Let's say they're seeing 80 in-store orders, walk-in orders a day, right? You know, helping them add 40, 50 more. So they're at that 130, right? So they can push, you know, extra margin, extra volume on and gross on their top of the line. So that's really the goal, is to focus on the volume of orders per dispensary in New York with the smaller amount of people that are there now. But, you know, as the market opens up, we'll take it how it comes and, you know, look to help to empower other parties and meet them where they're at and kind of tweak our offering to meet people where they're at. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a little bit of both. And, you know, there still is a medical market in New York too as well, mm-hmm. right? Like people that are incapacitated, that are stuck at home and it's hard for them to get out. You know, there are, you know, like you have MedMen and, you know, Rise and Columbia Cares in New York as well that are serving medical customers. So, you know, we'll look to empower those people as well. Because, you know, it's a different customer base.
Awesome. A couple of follow-up questions there. Do you see a difference in communication? And I really, I mean that by the marketing, by how they formulate their e-commerce presence, by how they price products. Do you see a big difference between mom and pop, small businesses, you know, smaller chains versus these larger organizations?
You know, I think it really all depends on the individual and their strategy. Because I know small mom and pops that are being super aggressive and they're like, we don't care about the margin. We just want to push volume, right? And we'll make it up on the volume. So I really think it depends on their business strategy altogether. I don't think I can say one way or another, because in New Mexico, you have people that are, you know, have 6-7 stores in the Albuquerque metro area under the same company name, and they're priced relatively high, right? And then you have small mom and pops that are priced more aggressive. So I don't know. I don't know if I can really put a finger on that trend and say one way or another. I don't know.
No worries. Look into it. I'd love to know a little bit more about that. But that being said, Scott, you're setting yourself up in markets that will have massive demand. New Mexico has already created that demand. And for you, you may have the most intelligent business model in the state. And then New York, I mean, everybody needs you. You know, delivery is a way of life in that city. I know, I lived there for a decade. So it is, you are going to be well received And love to keep up with you, Scott. You know, really excited for your growth. I think you've grown even since last time I spoke with you. I don't think it was 30 dispensaries last time we chatted. So congrats on what seems like people are enjoying what you're doing, man.
Thank you. Yeah, we got a great team down in New Mexico. That was one of our biggest hurdles. You know, it's just getting the right people to support our growth. And now that we really feel like we have a good foundation and a great team down there, it's really making things, easier and more scalable and allowing us to look into other markets to, you know, realize that opportunity.
Amen. Well, Scott Prisco, CEO of Prescotti, thank you so much for being here. If you don't know where he got the name Prescotti, Javier will tell you later. Thanks again for being with us, Scott.
Now you know.
Yeah, let me know if you need anything. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, man. That's interesting, man. I mean, the dude's got a very what could be an incredibly successful model.
Man, the app is awesome. I was, you know, playing around with it for a bit, and honestly, the kind of user interface I'm looking for, right? It's like it needs to be familiar.
I'm kind of over
like super specific apps, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we should go in. We should have like a tech expert or something on talking about apps in cannabis, because now you have the Juicy app, which is pretty big. You have TerrAscend's app. I think you have Curaleaf just launched their app or redid their app, whatever it was. There's a lot of apps in this space.
You know how people will find out which is the best app? We're actually awarding a cannabis tech platform business to consumer at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Awards, part of the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference, returning to Chicago September 27 and 28. bzcannabis.com for more information. Come join us and find out, among many other things, which is the best app in the cannabis space.
Love it. See you guys there. bzcannabis.com, ELLIOT10 for a discount on your tickets. Woo. We will see you there, y'all. We will also see you again on Thursday for an awesome, awesome interview with the head of people at Curaleaf. Going to be a good one. I'm excited for that, Javi. Until then, y'all. Peace.